Hello and welcome to the Star Child Weekly Reading for February 16th through the 22nd, 2026. And I try so hard to not be unnecessarily dramatic in how I speak about the astrology that we're going through, which is hard for me because I'm a Sagittarius and so I'm fucking dramatic by nature in how I talk about things. Very hyperbolic, very like, this is big, big, big. So apologies if I have undermined my own credibility when it comes to telling you that a certain week of astrology is like major news, because this week really is. So just pretend that I don't say that too often, which I know I do. This week we have, like, anytime we have an eclipse, it's like, okay, that's a really big astrology week. And weirdly, the eclipse that we have on Tuesday is not even like the biggest thing going on this week. The biggest thing going on this week, the like thing that doesn't even happen once a decade, it happens once every like 36-ish years, is Saturn and Neptune are coming together in Aries. And they have Aries being the very beginning of the zodiac has a different flavor to it. They're meeting up in the very first degree of Aries. So truly like the beginning of a cycle. I looked it up, and Saturn and Neptune have not come together in Aries since like 1703. And even then, that was at like 11 degrees of Aries. I don't even know the last time these two met up at the first degree of Aries. Very fucking long time ago. Okay. So we're going to talk about what that means, but it is big, like generational, defining, game-changing astrology. That we will certainly be feeling the effects of this week, although with these like big sort of outer planet moments, here's the message I want to start with this week. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and make the mistake of thinking that we know for sure how anything that is being activated right now, anything that's changing, anything that's beginning, that we know how it's going to play out. Because the very nature of the astrology that's happening this week is that it's all very meaningful and significant and impactful and change-making. And it is the kind of astrology that doesn't fully reveal itself all at once. So we're going to talk about what's happening. We're going to talk about how it's going to feel and how to work with it and how to make the most of it. But the biggest thing that I want us to all just be like holding in mind as we go into this week, which is very aligned with the fact that Pisces season starts this week, is what can we do to just sort of float without abdicating our own power to be agents of change in our lives and in our communities and in the world. Like, this isn't about being passive. And I think this is a very good week to think about the line between that balance between like acceptance and sitting with the discomfort of not knowing how the story is going to play out and not being in control of so many factors. Like, we can't control how other people are going to show up to things. We can't control so many things that we are invested in. So, okay, we're going to try to cultivate some sense of acceptance and floatiness that we're just going to let fate kind of move us forward a little bit. And with that, balancing against the temptation to be passive agents in our own lives, because it isn't about passivity. We're talking about stuff happening in Aquarius and we're talking about stuff happening in Aries. So there is a lot about the force of our individual will, our own desires, our own drives, our own sense of passion, and how that's leading us into the future and how that is leading us into a life that we're creating for ourselves, and how our own personal drive and initiative and our own personal power has a real impact on a collective level. How are we contributing what we have to offer, how we feel, what we want, what drives us, what skills we have, what ability to affect change we individually have? How are we using that to be a part of our collective experience together? So like, how do we leverage that in our families? How do we leverage that in our neighborhoods and communities? What role are we playing in collective change and collective caretaking in the world? So we're thinking about all of that. So that's the really interesting balance that we're going for this week, is like, okay, we can't control everything, but also we are not helpless and passive bystanders. We have to be in the game. We have to be very, very much in the game on personal levels, on a collective level. We got to get in the game. And we have to be humble enough to not think that we know how everything is going to shake out and that we can control what other people are doing, because we can't. So that's the takeaway from the week. Now, let's talk about what the fuck is actually happening, because so much is happening and not all of it is like scary and bad. We have some like extremely lovely, beautiful astrology this week too. So on Monday, we have Mercury making a trine to Jupiter, which is super good for our conversations and for just getting clear about like how we're thinking and what we're thinking and how we're saying things. It's not, look, Mercury's in Pisces. We talked about this a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever Mercury moved into Pisces. I can't even remember because Mercury is in Pisces as I'm recording it. And Mercury in Pisces is really bad at the details. So this isn't a day to like think that you can figure out all of the intricate details of something. But where's the value in the things that we can understand that are not maybe like the super specific details? Like, we can worry about that stuff later. What are the like, what are the things that we're understanding on a slightly higher level? We're having really illuminating and like healing conversations today. It's just a good communication day. That's what we're doing on Monday. Tuesday, we have the solar eclipse in Aquarius, first eclipse of the year. Now, here's what I'll say. It is a very disruptive eclipse. And I know what you're saying, Jessica, aren't all eclipses disruptive? Yes, they are. And this one is sitting in a square to Uranus. So if you did not listen to the daily reading from Sunday, the 15th, I would go back and listen to that, because I talked a lot about the sun making a square to Uranus. And that is the energy that is like infused into this eclipse signature, because it's only happening 2 days later. The sun has barely moved. The eclipse is happening in a square to Uranus. That square happened to be exact late Sunday night. So I talked about it a lot on Sunday. And I like the things that I said about it. Essentially what I said is that it shows us where the pressure is, where we need the disruption. Like, where are we feeling less free than we would like to be? Where are we feeling pressure that is preventing us from being really like authentic and things being workable in our lives? When I say authentic, I don't just mean in like superficial ways. Like, I don't know, maybe because I'm a white millennial American. To me, when I think about living authentically, it's like, oh, so you mean like you can pierce your nose and dye your hair blue and like look how you want to look and do the things you want to do. Like, that's, if it's resonating with you in like these very superficial ways, please know I'm talking about something a little more substantial. I'm talking about, are you able to inhabit your life in a way that feels like it works, like it is sustainable, like you're getting your needs met, like other people are getting their needs met? Like, is the way that your life is working chipping away at your vitality all the time? Is it just grinding you the fuck down? I think this is really relevant for parents, because we tend to think that we need to overextend ourselves, and often we actually do need to do that. But we think that that's supposed to just be like a sustained state of existence in parenting. Okay, you have an existential obligation to your kids to prioritize their needs and their best interest over your own. And it's like what we're hardwired to do as mammals who want to care for our young. Like, okay, I get that. And it's too easy to let that become a baseline where we stop thinking about what we can change to make things work better for us. It doesn't have to always, we don't have to always be feeling worn down. We don't have to always endure existing in a paradigm that is chipping away at us and wearing us down all the time. So we're coming into this eclipse moment with, I think, a lot of real pressure on ourselves, and we're feeling that. And if we can, and what I'm hoping will happen, is that we can kind of pinpoint our understanding of some of that. We can kind of understand where some of those tense and stressful feelings are coming from, what they mean, And that can become useful fuel for leaning into change. Now, we are talking about change on an eclipse's terms, which is not like other kinds of change. Eclipses are these portals that tend to just like kind of pull us forward in our lives. They take us from point A to point B really quickly. Time kind of collapses on itself. It feels like a ton happens in a really short period of time. And you'll look back and be like, how did all of that happen in just a few days or just a few weeks? Like, what a massive difference this is. So, deaths and births and other things along those lines, like in terms of like that scale of drama, like that's the kind of shit that we see around eclipses. Doesn't mean someone's going to die in your life. Doesn't mean everyone's going to have a baby. It's not, I'm not saying it has to be that, but I'm saying that it tends to be these kind of things where like, oh, in an instant, something very profound is quite different. That's how eclipses operate. And we are usually not in control of those. When I say that it feels like fated beginnings and endings, I just mean that it feels like things are happening without us necessarily having to be in the driver's seat of those things happening. But we're coming into that. So it's a weird balance where like we are very aware of where the pressure points in ourselves exist, where the tension is, where the unworkable, unsustainable situations are, and how that's making us feel, how it's kind of cutting away at us. And we're coming into an eclipse week with that. And we're coming into the week of this Saturn-Neptune conjunction, which is this like huge new chapter opening. So you see why I'm like saying this is a week where like we kind of just have to roll with whatever comes our way a little bit. And we should just try to stay light on our feet and ready to roll with the punches and not have this like overly confident feeling like we need to be driving the car all the time. Like we even know how this story is going to play out. Like let's just kind of observe and see how things reveal themselves to us. And we are feeling things really personally. And the things that we're feeling, the places where we feel stressed, the places where we feel pinched, the places where we feel this need to break free are like really important things to pay attention to and things that we should feel very empowered to act on. I'm not saying to like ignore your feelings and see how things play out. That's not the vibe this week. Like fucking go for it. We're talking about big astrology happening in Aries, the sign of personal initiative, the sign of going for it, the sign of just taking action. So I don't think we're in a moment of like ruminating and reflecting, like shit is happening and go forth and make things happen in your life. So that's what we're starting the week with, is this eclipse that is in a square to Uranus. It is super loud, super disruptive. Something that we just want to make sure we're taking care of our bodies through it. Eclipses involve the moon, notably. We've got the sun, which represents our own inner vitality, ourselves, our like core selves and our energy, and the moon, which is like our physical bodies and our emotions. Eclipses are very personal in how they impact us. We often see events happening on like the world stage, and the events that accompany eclipses are not always directly about us, but the way we feel during eclipses is very, very real. It makes us feel really fried. It makes us feel a little bit on edge, a little bit like just discombobulated. So it's a really good time to double down on a little bit of self-care, you know? Just make sure that you go to bed. Drink some water, go to sleep, take care of your body, because we're already going to be feeling kind of frazzled and a little fried. So do what you can to minimize those effects. And, you know, same for your kids. Like everyone's going to be feeling a little bit like they have scrambled eggs for brains, especially during the first half of this week. So taking care of your body, always a nice way to get through eclipse season. That is usually what I try to focus on. And we actually have an astrological signature that reflects that, which is Venus making a conjunction with the North Node in Pisces, right as we're having the eclipse. And Venus in Pisces is really sweet. It's really creative, but it wants us to feel good. And like there is something in this eclipse moment that does feel good, which is very strange. Because we usually don't think of eclipses as feeling pleasurable, But I'm telling you, like, this is happening in Aquarius, and Aquarius is the sign of, like, throwing out the rule book and doing something that is more liberated, doing something that, like, is more free. And so Venus sort of being in Pisces in the mix here, activating the North Node, which is where we have, you know, this is the point of the eclipse. Like, there's something about connection and love and togetherness and care that is baked into this. Like, there's something super jarring and no nonsense, even something that's like a little angry, even something that's a little like, this does not work, this must change, this must change now, about the signature of this eclipse. And at the same time, we've got Venus in the sign that Venus loves to be in, Pisces, sitting right there on the North Node, being like, okay, but going there together is what's going to get us there. Like, leaning into our sense of connection to each other, leaning into love and beauty and pleasure is the thing that's driving us forward. So, like, maybe there's all this friction in the movement of what's going on. There's a lot that feels quite jarring and abrasive. But also, what is the thing that's leading us forward? The thing that's leading us forward is something beautiful and connected and lovely and pleasurable. And that can be such an important, like, North Star when we're thinking about what is propelling us forward. Like, there is something about, like, love and connection that is motivating even the parts of this portal of change that feel abrasive and violent and unpleasant. Like, it doesn't all feel good, but it's all coming from a place that's really powered by something lovely. And I think that's, like, really worth remembering. And on a more mundane level, Venus sitting on the North Node in the middle of this kind of, like, chaotic moment is a reminder to, like, lean into the things that feel good. Try to make yourself feel good during this week, because it's going to help us to really get through it. And with eclipses, that's part of the assignment. Just get through it. And then on Wednesday, we have the beginning of Pisces season. The sun moves into Pisces, which does bring the temperature down just a little bit. Like, Aquarius is so dry and unemotional and revolutionary and, like, great. That's so useful. It's so good. It's been such a good time for intellectually understanding what could and needs to be different, and, like, getting that sort of message across, even in our own minds, getting that message across. The sun moving into Pisces. Pisces is our mutable water sign. So when I was saying early on in this that, like, we want to adopt a position of kind of floating a little bit during this time, that is what Pisces is so good at. Mutable signs are the signs that move us from one state to another. They always are, like, moving us from one season to another. Pisces is the last sign before we get into Aries, which is the beginning of spring. And then we've got Virgo, which is the mutable earth sign, which brings us from, like, summer into fall. And then we've got Sagittarius, the mutable fire sign, that brings us from fall into winter. And so, like, these are signs that are engineered to metabolize old things and bring them into new things. They're meant for change. They're built for change. And so I do love that during this week, where we've got an eclipse at the beginning of the week, we have this major outer planet conjunction at the end of the week, the Neptune-Saturn coming together. In the middle of that, the sun moves into Pisces, our mutable water sign, which cools things down, brings things into, like, a more intuitively led place. Pisces is very dreamy. It's very sensitive. It's very compassionate. It's creative. It is all about our emotions, our sense of empathy, our sense of imagining what is possible and what feels good, and being very connected to the feelings of each other. Pisces is the sign where we merge. It's the sign where, like, the boundaries between ourselves and other people kind of collapse, which, yes, definitely has its downsides. Every sign does. But when we're talking about what's really good about Pisces season, is that it's an incredibly lovely time for things that are really useful to parents. Just a sense of empathy, a sense of being able to be emotionally attuned to our kids, to each other, to the people in our lives, and not feeling like, okay, your feelings are your problem, my feelings are my business. That kind of goes away a little bit in Pisces season. It's a little more a time of enmeshment where it's like, actually, I feel your feelings a little bit, and I know that my feelings are relevant and connected to you. Like the emotional ecosystem that we share feels really real to us during Pisces season. Our emotional interconnectedness feels very real to us. And it's also just like a sweet and dreamy time. It's a really good season for creative projects. It's a really good time to just like, you know, be cute and lovely. Which is weird in this week, but I do think that like having some emotional fluidity and emotional attunement to one another during an eclipse week, I think that's a huge benefit. That's like a really important skill that we're going to need to lean on. So I'm glad to see how this is all sort of working out. Like I said, there's a lot that's harsh about this week and a lot that is potentially overwhelming on our systems. And we have so many little things that are trying to balance that out, like Venus on the North Node, reminding us about like the sweetness and the love that is actually like driving us forward and pulling us into the future and kind of like guiding us through this portal of change, as harsh and abrupt as it might feel. And then Pisces season coming in and being like, all right, let's get ourselves into a place where emotionality is something that we're interested in working with, where we're feeling a little sweeter, we're feeling a little more able to flow with things and just like chill the fuck out a little bit, which is very helpful. And then on this weekend, we actually have like the sweetest thing of all, really, which I'll get to in a minute. But on Friday is the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. That is the big thing. The last time that happened was 1989. Like this only happens every like 36, 37 years. So it's a really big deal. And it is something that is like, has the potential to obscure the way that we are feeling about so much stuff this week. Like when Saturn and Neptune come together, this is very much like the beginning of like a new chapter. Saturn is the planet of structure and building and what we are creating long-term, the legacy that we're building, the stuff that supports us. Like Saturn is the structure and Neptune is a planet that dissolves structure. It is where things get obscured and blurred, and it's really good for creative work. It's really good for holding our ideals and our beliefs and all of those things that are more intangible. But when these two planets come together, there's like a conflict between their competing energies. And it can really fill us with like a lot of self-doubt. It can really fill us with like confusion about what's real and what's stable. And there's just like a lot of weird vibes in the air around this, to be like incredibly reductive about it. I'm going to talk about this in a lot more detail when we get into like Thursday and Friday on the daily readings, because there's so much to be said about this transit. It's hard to even say it in like a short and concise kind of way. The thing that I will say about it is, A, it's a story that's going to be making itself known for months and years to come. These are two slow-moving planets that their transits through a sign are like these big chapters in our lives. Like Saturn is going to be in Aries for the next 3 years. Neptune is going to be in Aries for the next 14 years. So it's not a short thing that makes the story in its totality very clear out of the gate. And the pressure that we're feeling when they're like right here together is like one that is challenging the idea of, in Aries, it's something like the idea that there's like someone coming to save us. That's part of it. It's making us feel perhaps like a little doubtful, a little negative, a little gloomy, a little worried. And again, if you think about astrology as being like a mirror of life on Earth, it's reflecting what's going on. It's basically just a map that's telling us about these cycles and these seasons that we're in. And we can track that to what's happening here on Earth. So it would make sense that we have this peaking moment of self-doubt and low confidence around like big important things during an eclipse week when a lot is changing and has not totally settled. Things are in flux right now. You know, eclipses, we're going to have another eclipse in 2 weeks. So it's not just that we have this eclipse on Tuesday and then it's like, okay, big change done. No, we're actually talking about a story that's going to keep going for the next few weeks. And moreover, a story that will keep going for the next couple of years, because that's how eclipse cycles work. And we have not had an eclipse here in Aquarius. And so it's going to keep telling its story over the next couple of years. And so in the middle of all of that, that's what I was saying. Like, we can't come into this week thinking that we're going to know how everything is going to play out. We do know. Here's what we know. And what this Saturn-Neptune conjunction is telling us is that our beliefs and our faith and our ideals and the structures that we trusted in, whether it's in our own personal lives or collectively, if there are big institutional structures that you believed would be these enduring things and they failed to be that, like you are feeling disillusioned with some of the institutions and structures upon which you previously relied. So again, that could be institutions and structures and relationships and situations and jobs and marriages and houses and whatever it is, whatever things you thought like, this is solid, this is enduring, this is for good, this is what this is. I understand what this is structurally. I get this. I believe I would not be going too far out on a limb to say that over the last year, for a lot of us, we realized that what we believed in just actually structurally did not measure up to what we thought it was. And so there is this like feeling of disillusionment that we've been kind of working through. And it's like, okay, well, on a collective level, that's obviously like very obvious. I think like we could look at the institutions that we believed in that we thought like, we understand what this is. We understand what we can rely on this for. We can have faith and trust in these structures and institutions to do their job and to hold us up. And this is reliable. And now it's like, well, actually, did those things ever have the integrity that we thought they once had? And if they did, they don't anymore. And so what does that fucking mean? Like, what do we do now? Now we have to figure out not only what new things do we want to build, but what do we expect from them? What do we believe in? What do we have faith in? What faith are we infusing into the new world that we're building for ourselves and collectively? What new structures and institutions need to be constructed now? Like, what's going to hold us going forward? And how are we going to trust it? How are we going to build it in a way that we know we can trust it? So when I say that there's doubt baked into this moment, it's like healthy and necessary doubt. Like, we're not as naive as we once were, but it doesn't mean that we've lost our ability to be idealistic. And it doesn't mean that we've lost our ability to have faith and to have dreams that we believe in and to shoot for the ideal of something and to really work toward that. We haven't lost that ability. We just feel a little bit like we're starting over. And in the moment of starting over, it's like we're kind of sifting through the wreckage. We're kind of trying to deal with the corpse of the structures that didn't work out before. They're still hanging around. They still require our attention in some ways. They're still holding us back in some ways. You know, they haven't just dissolved. The old institutions and the old things in our lives, like the old chapter is still hanging around. It's still there and it still thinks that it has a position of authority and we still have to fucking deal with it. And that's super annoying. So like, how do we deal with the decaying past while being clear-headed enough to know what we want to build for the future? And how do we muster up the emotional resilience and optimism and faith to believe in what we're building for the future when we'll never be as naive as we once were, we'll never be as innocent as we once were? And what does faith and belief and idealism and hope look like for us now? And how do we tap into our creative sense of imagining a beautiful future that we can really, really build something against without letting go of the lessons that we learned from our disillusionment with the past, you know? So just like all that casual stuff, that's the stuff that comes up for us around this Saturn-Neptune conjunction. So it's not easy. And it's also necessary. And I think it's just important for us to know that whatever doubt we're feeling, whatever fear, whatever open questions, whatever like difficult emotions come up around all of this, it's not a sign that we are moving in the wrong direction. It's not a sign that we can't do the job that we need to do, that we can't build the new structures and the new institutions and the new containers for our lives. Of course we can. And of course we're going to. It just means that we're not ignorant to everything that came before and the emotional toll of it. Like if you are feeling off and you're feeling down and you're feeling doubtful, and that just honestly is like to me a sign of emotional presence. It's like, well, yeah, that is the normal way to feel about all of this. Like starting over is exciting and empowering, and having the ability to build something new in consideration of what did not work before is the best possible way to actually build something that can work and can be good. It's a very fruitful and like lovely beginning, but there's still grief and exhaustion baked into that. And there still is like doubt baked into that. So that's all I think just healthy. But again, we're keeping in mind this week that the way that we feel getting through this week is not indicative of the way that we are going to feel about the changes that are being initiated this week. Because like the force of the change is a shock to the system. That's just how bodies are. That's how we're built. So there is a lot of pressure here. There's a lot of friction here. We're cracking a few eggs to make an omelet. And when you're feeling that cracking experience, that has nothing to do with the omelet. It's like, oh God, oh, I hate cracking these eggs. Oh, gross, disgusting. I hate the sound. I hate how gross it is. I hate these sharp little fragments. I hate the feeling that I am destroying the integrity of this thing that was whole unto itself. I am cracking this egg. What a fucked up thing. I don't like that part. It doesn't mean that you should be like, well, I definitely should not eat this omelet. No, the omelet's going to be delicious, but the omelet's not done yet. Eclipses are cracking the eggs. We're just cracking the eggs. So that's kind of the message this week. Okay, so that is the Saturn-Neptune conjunction on Friday. And like I said, we're going to be thinking about this for a long time. Like the things that are initiating this week, the feelings that we're feeling, like we just had Saturn enter Aries last week, and this is kind of the first thing that it's doing. So it's like Saturn moving into Aries is about like, what new structures are we building? And it is a very much like the opening of a new chapter in our lives, not only because it's a new Saturn transit, but it's because it's Saturn back at the beginning of the zodiac. So it's like a much bigger new start of building a new sort of shape for our world. And this is a week that's like, oh, right. Like I have complicated feelings about that. I have a complicated sense of confidence about that. What if we get this wrong? And again, the nice thing about eclipse weeks and eclipses in general, if there's an upside to the lack of control that we have, it is that we kind of can't get it wrong. Eclipses just kind of move us forward in the direction that we not even need to go, that we are going. We are simply only moving forward. We are only moving forward at any given time, and eclipses just kind of are these radical leaps forward really quickly. And so there is no getting it wrong. It's just the trajectory that we're already on. That's why people, you know, talk about things like karma and fate and whatever you say, whatever language you use to talk about that force that keeps you moving forward in life, like outside of the realm of your free will, outside of the realm of the choices that you can make. That's what eclipses are really speaking to. So we can feel all of our doubt and ask all of those questions and be shaky in our confidence about laying the foundation for this next part of our lives, and know that we're just going, and where we're going is exactly where we're meant to be going, because we can't go any other direction. And I think right now we know that. And I love to see Venus on the North Node during this eclipse, because it is like a very sweet and comforting sort of life raft that, like, at the core of all of this is like something that is beautiful and connected and lovely and driven by love and pleasure. And that is really essential. And then we get to the weekend on the other side of all of this, and we have Venus making a trine to Jupiter. Now, this is, I'm not even kidding, my favorite astrology of the year. I'm obsessed with it. Like, Venus and Jupiter are what we call the benefic planets in astrology. They're the good guys. We love them. They bring sweetness everywhere they go. Jupiter is this sense of possibility and abundance and expansion and what's possible. And it is like the yes and of planets. Huge fan of Jupiter. And Venus is, of course, all about sweetness and connection and pleasure and beauty and art and everything that feels good about being alive. So Venus and Jupiter, we love them. A trine in astrology is the best kind of connection you can have. It is one that brings out the best qualities in the two planets involved. So there are all kinds of different angles that planets can make to each other that we call aspects in astrology. And a trine is the very best one. So when you've got the very best aspect happening between the two very best planets, it's always a good day. And in this case, this year, as they're making this trine, they're both in the signs that they are exalted in, which just means Venus fucking loves to be in Pisces, and Jupiter loves to be in Cancer. So they are in signs where they are at their strongest and most powerful. They feel really good in these signs, and they're making the best connection to each other. So when I say that we're ending this week with a sense of everything just feeling amazing, I'm not even being overly dramatic. I can't think of any astrology that feels better than Venus and Jupiter making a trine from Pisces and Cancer. So when we get through this week, which I think is going to be a little bit draining, we get to kind of come back home to something that feels very healing, and maybe literally in our sense of home, in our sense of family, definitely in our sense of connection. There's something that feels really safe, that feels really beautiful, that feels really lovely. It's, you can't go wrong with this astrology. And again, on the daily readings, as we get into the weekend, we'll talk a little more about the ways in which this might come to life for you, and some really good ways to use the lovely astrology of this weekend. But it is kind of feels like a prize at the end of a marathon week. This is such an intense week of astrology. Intense is like the only word for it. But again, we can't go wrong. You absolutely cannot. The only way to go wrong with the astrology of this week is really just like we can underserve our own experience by trying too hard to fight against the things that are unfolding the way that they're going. Like, we can try to fight against that. We can try to feel in control of it. And all that's going to do is just like, you know, show us our shitty coping mechanisms. We'll be like, oh yeah, this is what I do when I'm under pressure. This is what I do when I'm stressed, and it's not helpful. And I'm seeing that, and there we go. And once again, it's not being helpful, but I'm just like doing it. So it's a good time to notice those things. I do think eclipses are really useful times to notice what our sort of unhelpful coping mechanisms are when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel under pressure, when we feel like things are not as much in our control as we want them to be. What do? Who do we become when we do that? And eclipses are nice check-in points to be like, have I grown in terms of my ability to relinquish control comfortably, or at least to not become my worst self during times when I feel out of control or overstimulated? It's a nice check-in point. So that, again, like I said, all we can really do with this week is just make ourselves more miserable by trying to be more in control of it. And the other thing that we could do that would wreck our experience this week is to think, again, that our any negative feelings that come up, any just like bad moods and emotions and self-doubt and worry and anxiety that comes up during this week is not an indication that we are unable or ill-equipped for the job at hand, the work that we have to do, the things that we're restarting, the things that we're starting fresh on. We can't believe all of those feelings. We're just humans in bodies. You know, the force of change affects us. It just does. So don't believe the worst thoughts in your head this week. Just know that that's like a very normal reaction to an intense time. Things are intense right now. And you're reacting to that as a human with a body and a brain does. But it doesn't mean that you are incapable. We are not. Eclipses simply take us where we need to go. And the best thing we can do is to try and trust that. And it's something that Pisces could do. So if we could all just kind of tap into that Pisces energy, we've got Venus in Pisces, we have Mercury in Pisces, the sun is moving into Pisces this week. And so I think the most helpful thing we can do for ourselves is to try and just trust that things are unfolding the way that they need to go and trust ourselves and not be afraid of our feelings and just feel our fucking feelings. That's definitely what Pisces would do. Just feel our feelings. And this weekend, I think everything's going to feel really sweet. So we just kind of have to get there. Okay. I think that's it. I think that's it for here. We're going to dig into all of the specifics of each day on the daily readings. And again, this is a bear of a week. So I do really like thinking about each just one day at a time. Let's just look at what we're doing to get through each day. The daily readings on the Today tab are where we're going to do that together. And I will see you back here next week.